So we took a 3 week excursus or trip through the book of John, looking at related ideas that connect Jesus to the light. We're back at 1 John 1:5 as we work through the book of 1 John. It is a beautiful book, but a very often misunderstood book. And I would like to just look at one verse today. I don't do just one verse at a time usually, but this is a big verse, so we will do that this morning. The sermon is entitled today, What God Is and Is Not, Light and Darkness. So we'll look at 1 John 1:5 today. And this might be one that you're familiar with, but the Word of God says, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. So we're going to parse this a little bit and then look at light from a bigger picture. Just as we go into the sermon here. 1 John 1:5 gives us two main truths about God. So that's what we're going to look at here. Truth number one, and again, it's not a surprise, it's not a secret, God is light. Well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that He doesn't weigh much. It's not talking about that. It's talking about a metaphor that has to do with what we think of as physical light. But light reveals things. Light shows things. And so that's what it brings us to here. Letter A under truth number one, light reveals what is factually true. We live in a day when it's hard to know what is true. I know this might sound cynical and very skeptical, but when I read the news, I don't really believe what I read. Not because it may or may not be true. I just simply cannot trust the news much anymore. Okay? And I'm saying we've gone from a state of reporting facts to presenting agendas and indoctrination. That's a lot of what is posited as truth today. It's really not true. So you should always check your sources, right? If it's quoting a live quote from Abraham Lincoln, it probably is not something he said. I would say that if it's quoting something President Biden said, it may not be what he said. Or whoever. I'm not picking on anyone politically. It's simply, you cannot trust, in our day, the government to tell you the truth. You cannot trust the news to tell you the truth. You can't trust your school books to tell you the truth. You can't trust your neighbor to tell you the truth. And listen, you can't trust yourself to tell you the truth. Now that, again, might sound cynical, but we've shared before, but the Bible says our own hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked, right? We cannot lean on our own understanding, the Bible says. Otherwise, we'll come to wrong conclusions. We are the best salesmen in the world because we can talk ourselves into anything, right? That's what our culture is in our day. Light comes from God. God is light in the purest sense of the word. Light reveals what is factually true. Just to describe it a little more, when we talk about this, we're talking about informationally accurate. You can rely upon God to tell you what the truth is. And it's true. It's really the facts. It's informationally accurate. Truthfulness. And on top of that, how does He know He's true? How do we know God is true? Because God knows everything. Now, I'm sure you've met some people that thought they knew everything. But God literally knows everything. There's nothing that he does not know. Whether it's a doctor or a lawyer or a mechanic or I work in the risk assessment world, we live in a limited capacity. Mark and I had that conversation. The doctors do the best they can, but they do not know everything. They cannot see everything. They cannot be aware of everything because they're finite and they don't have that infinite knowledge. God does. God knows it all. So you can rely upon God that when he tells you something, it is true beyond anything else that can be presented from any other source. So when God says he created the heavens and the earth, it's true. When God said he made them male and female, that is true. Regardless of what the culture tries to push or tries to morph into something else because of what they want. Day is called night and night is called day in our culture. Good is called bad, bad is called good. Another thing we can say here is God is the source of truth. Knowing God is how we come to know what is actually true. That is how we come to know the truth. Romans 1 says, this is the culture of mankind in general, humanity in general, professing themselves to be wise, if you will, in the sense of smarter than God, they became fools. And their foolish hearts were what? Darkened. You turn your back on God, you don't get more truth, you get less truth. You are left with lies to draw your information from what is not true. It doesn't help you at all. It could be just the wrong source, or it could be an absolutely false source. I don't know much about mechanics. I'm going to pick on Sam again today because he's a mechanic, but he probably isn't using a heart surgeon's manual to work on anybody's car. That would be the wrong source. Even if the information is factual and true, it doesn't help him at all with working on a car. It would help me because I would have the same ultimate result. But it doesn't do any good, right? And yet, what about a book of lies or a source of lies? Doesn't help anybody anywhere with life. You need to know God in order to know the truth. So light reveals what is factually true, but let's keep going here. Light also reveals what is morally right. So these are actually tied together, but something isn't always moral or immoral when it's true, right? The sun is supposedly 93 million miles away or whatever. That's a measurement that probably doesn't have a lot of morality assigned to it, though I'm sure we could get there. But light reveals what is morally right. Light tells you what is true and false, and also what is right and wrong. God tells us what is sinful and what is holy, what is pure and what is dirty. When we talk about this aspect of light, we speak of God as being sinlessly holy, morally pure. God is absolutely holy. He doesn't have any sin. It seems in politics today, or probably in every area of life, really. I was talking to someone the other day, and his sister's a nurse, and she decided she wanted to go in a different direction, not from a skill standpoint, but just work in a different place because she said the corruption in politics are so bad where she works. That's in medicine. You know, how does politics and corruption affect that? But it does. It affects every area of life. I work for a bank. It affects us in there. It's all over, right? So it's there. Wherever you reside, wherever you work, wherever you shop, corruption and evil is there, and it's been impacted by that. But God has none of that. You don't have to worry about God crossing his fingers behind his back. You don't have to worry about him lying to you. You don't have, because God will not lie, God cannot lie, and he will not sin, and he will not tolerate sin. God is aware of all sin and sinfulness. As part of that light, he sees everything. He knows everything. He's aware of all of our sin and even our tendency for sin, that sinfulness. He does not miss or overlook sin or sinfulness. God doesn't ever say, Kevin, that's okay that you sinned. Because God is holy, and there in him is no darkness at all. God has to deal with sin because he is holy. In him is no darkness at all. He does not tolerate any falsehood, and he doesn't tolerate any sinfulness. And that helps us to have a right perspective on God. I need to know God. And I need to walk with God on the basis of what is true and what is right. Because that's who God is. So truth number one, God is light. Truth number two, in God is no darkness whatsoever. Now I put the word whatsoever in there because there's a word that in Greek that it kind of means that, okay? Literally, it's this, and this is the measure. Not even one. The word is eudaimia, and it's not even one. It's that's a literal translation of this word. In him is no darkness, not even one whatever. Not even one hint, one little bit. There's no falsehood, there's no sinfulness in God at all, anywhere, not even a bit. By the way, this word will show up in a couple weeks when we get to 1 John 2. And now, little children, these things I write to you that you not sin, eudaimia, not even one time. That'll correlate with what we're talking about in 1 John 1, 9 in a few weeks. But same idea. There's not one bit of darkness in God. That's the measure that John is revealing here. Letter B, God has no missing truth or incorrect knowledge. God knows everything. And another way to say this, there's nothing that he does not know. There's no missing truth or incorrect knowledge. He's not going to have to get at the end of the week or the month of the year or the millennium and go, oh no, I measured this wrong. Oh no, I got this wrong. He knows everything. Even I don't comprehend God's awesome wisdom, but he sees even the future and the past. Right? He knows. He's already written the book of how our world will end. And it's at times very specific. How many people will die on the earth? How many, you know, things that will happen and so on. It's very specific. And God foretold this 2,000 years ago, that part of it. Some of it even farther back. But God has absolutely no wrong knowledge, ignorance, inaccuracy, falsehood, or incorrect understanding. He sounds like someone you should rely on. Right? You've heard the phrase, you can take that to the bank. Well, you can hold on to God And you will always get what is true and right and good. God has no missing truth. There's not a piece of information that he hasn't been aware of, exposed to, understanding, in control of, I would even say, but that's another sermon. But let us see now, God has no hint of sin or sinfulness. By the way it's stated, not even one. There's no darkness in him at all, whatsoever. God has absolutely no sin and sinfulness in character, in attitude, in action, nor does he excuse or tolerate any sin or sinfulness. We have remade God to tolerate sin in our culture. It's okay. Not a big deal. You be you. That's heresy. If God is light and in him is no darkness at all. You do what you want to do. You do what you think is right. And it's like, really? No, God tells you what is right. And you need to align to what God says, what is true and what is right. So two truths. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So it's just state that in him is no darkness at all. It's just stating in strong terms that there is nothing his light is missing. Right? Either morally or truthfully. Now let's break it down. I didn't put any of the verses up on the screen of what we're about to cover. So they're just in your notes, but they're all in your notes, and you'll get to see a little more of how light is used in Scripture from a spiritual standpoint, and it'll shed light on the light of God. God is light here. So we're going to look at six ways light is used in a spiritual sense in Scripture. And as you will see, light is a way God describes us even. So it's not just a fact about God. It is a way to direct us about how we relate to God. That's next week, verses 6, 7, and 8. But also how we are to be light ourselves. We're to walk as children of what? Light, right? Okay, so number one here, light is used as identification. Right? Marks are characteristics. So even in 1 John 1:5 here, God is light. He's labeled as light. By the way, later on in 1 John, he's called love as well. A different sermon and a different topic. We looked at John 8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So he's the label. He's being labeled for that characteristic of that revealing characteristic of what is true and what is right. 1 Timothy 6:16, it's in the middle of a sentence, many of these are, but Paul says, who alone has immortality dwelling in unapproachable light? Now that sounds like spiritual, but maybe also physical. Remember, God dwells in unapproachable light is probably representative of his characteristic of light, both of what is true and what is right, but also it's manifested in a physical light. James 1:17, it says here, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of what? Lights. The Father, the originator of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That's saying it a different way. But God doesn't change truth over time. You don't have to worry about God saying, well, that was yesterday. Right? He's unchanging in what he holds to. Revelation 22:5, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. When there's a new heaven and new earth, that's talked about in the book of Revelation, there will be no more sun. And we don't understand this fully, but again, the physical light will come from Jesus on earth. And it will light the entire world. How does that happen? I'm not really sure, because light travels in a straight line, right? But the Bible says that his glory will light the world. And by the way, there's no night anymore. So it's 24/7 lights. You know, we must not need to sleep or whatever. But it's a physical light, but it manifests, as I think, his characteristic of revealing what is true and what is right as well. And then also, I forwarded this, but we're not there yet, in number two, light is used as an identification of God's people or believers. Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Jesus is not only the light, but because we are followers of him, we become that same light. We are to reveal what is true and what is right. Right? And we'll see that even as we continue. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness." Paul uses this in a way, because we know what is true and because we know it is right, and then maybe I can extend it a little more, because we know what is factually true and because we know what is morally right, that should dominate and direct our lives. We're sons of light, so we walk because we know what is true, so we walk on that basis. And we walk because in a certain way because we know what is morally right, and therefore we choose to avoid what is morally what? Wrong. Right? We walk as children of light, sons of light. Now, number two here, it's already up on your board, but light is also expressed as information, as revelation or truth. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." By the way, we live in this culture right now. If you believe in some kind of moral certainty, there was an interaction on one of the news networks this week. I only read about it. I don't watch much news, like I said, but the person speaking was saying that the people that are harmful to the country believe that rights come from God. And those are the wackos, those are the weirdos, she was claiming. And it's like, you know, the responses apparently on Twitter and all this, it's like, have you read the Declaration of Independence? Right? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are what? Created equal and endowed by their what? Creator with unalienable rights. They're from God. They're not just dispensed by man. Right? That's the foundation of our culture here in the United States. But they said it's just the opposite. If you're for what God describes as marriage, you're bad. You're limiting other people. It's like, no, God is truth. God is morally right, and he tells you how he created us and how we're supposed to function. He tells us what a man is, what a woman is, how we're supposed to work hard for ourselves, right? All of that kind of stuff is in the Word of God. John 1:4-5, we did look at this a few weeks ago, but in him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. It's portraying it as a way of revealing things. The light shines in the darkness. It shows what is right and wrong, true and false. John 1:9, we also looked at that recently. This is at the top of the back of your sheet there. "That was the true light," still speaking of Jesus and what he was sharing, "which gives light to every man coming into the world." The light is available to everyone, as we shared, but it's information. Everyone knows, the Bible says, even from the inside, that they're not right with God. They have a conscience, right? They're aware that they're violating. And even even if they've never been inside a church or heard the Bible, they still know that stealing somebody else's wallet is wrong, and they don't particularly like you stealing their wallet. There's a moral compass built in. Even though it's defective, it's still there. John chapter 3, we looked at this 2 weeks ago, verses 19 to 21. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved what? Darkness. No, don't tell me the truth. I don't want fact. I want what I want to believe, right? Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. They want to justify their works rather than God evaluate their works. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. That explains Sunday morning drive times. No one's up because they don't care about the light of God, right? But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. John 12, 36, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Light is, we can be distracted from the light, and got our first response we looked at last week is to believe on Jesus so that we become children of light. And then we walk by that light. John 12, 46, Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. I believe that ongoing belief, not for salvation, but God wants us to walk with him in ongoing belief, studying what is true and studying what is right. And that is how we walk with God. We'll see that in great detail next week. And then, if you want a description, this is the best description I've found in Scripture, is Ephesians 5:13. But Paul says this, all things that are exposed are manifest by the light. God shows us what is true. God shows us what is right. God shows us what is false. God shows us what is morally wrong. Light does that. The Word of God does that. It's meant to do that. For whatever makes manifest is light. Whatever reveals is light, is a way to describe what light is. God is the great revealer. He tells you what is true and false, what is right and wrong. Light is also presented as salvation. I call this rescue from sin and its penalty. But notice here, Paul says this. This is what God told him to do. He said, in Acts 26, 18, God told him to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. One way to speak of evangelism is to turn people from what is fact, what they see is true but is false, and what they see is morally right but is actually morally wrong. From darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God. That, by the way, that's the only two choices. You either under God or under Satan, ultimately, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith or belief in me. Right? So forgiveness of sins, turning them from darkness to light, and then to be sanctified, both in a positional way, immediately, but also in a functional way as we learn and grow to become like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4, 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory in the face of Jesus Christ. So there it ties knowledge or information with that relationship with Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, 2, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints or the holy ones. That's us, that's believers. In the light. We are going to talk about walking in the light next week. But that ties right into that. And then 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Part of salvation is not only rescue from the penalty of sin, but it's being able to understand what is true and what is false, what is right and what is wrong. That is where we dwell and how we are to walk once we are saved. Again, next week is where we'll be there. Number four, light is tied in with sanctification, which we call spiritual growth or spiritual conduct. It says we learn what the Bible teaches, that it changes the way we think, it changes the way we talk, and it changes the way we conduct ourselves. It changes our decision-making processes even. Romans 13, 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, Paul says. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. What is the work of darkness? It'd be anything that's immersed or connected to sin and falsehood, right? And let us put on the armor of light. Truth protects us. The armor of light. Truth protects us. It keeps us from embracing what is false, and it keeps us from embracing what is evil or morally wrong. Ephesians 5, 8 to 9, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. That's talking about the salvation experience. You're part of the kingdom of darkness, and now you're part of the kingdom of light. We have, notice what he says here. Because you're now light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Live like you're children of light. Live like you know the truth, because you do know the truth. You have the truth now. Live like you know it is morally right. Let that govern, again, what you listen to, what you watch, what you do, how you make your decisions. That's what it's talking about here. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And I put a little note at the end there, but the word Spirit there, the fruit of the Spirit, in some Greek translations, it actually says the fruit of light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So same idea, the Spirit is the one who gives light, so, but just an idea there. 1 John 1:7, it's not 1:17. If you can find 1 John 1:17, you have a really bad Bible. But 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We will talk about that next week. Verses 6, 7, and 8, okay? Next week. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we are to be walking in the light. That's sanctification. God just didn't save you to do whatever you wanted. He saved you to take you on a path of light to change you, okay? And then 1 John 2:10, he who loves his brother abides in the light. He's doing what is factually true and morally right. And you'll see that theme throughout 1 John, loving one's brother. Two more here. Light is also illustrated or tied in with separation or holiness. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, what commonness has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And the answer to the both of those, there's nothing in common. Light and darkness do not go together at all. So our relationship with unbelievers needs to be directed by what is true and right, not what is convenient. And then lastly here, and this makes perfect sense, light is seen as proclamation, or what we would call evangelism. Matthew 5:16, we already looked at Matthew 5:14 earlier. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God, glorify your Father, rather, in heaven. This shows that there should be an outworking of our actions. Now, we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you have to share the gospel verbally. No one's going to get saved by you keeping your lawn mowed, right? Or whatever you want to say, whatever is, they may see your good works or whatever, but it may give you an opportunity to share the gospel. And I would say that our works, if poor, can prevent people from listening to the gospel and prevent opportunities to share the gospel. And then Acts 26:23, that Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the people and to the Gentiles, the Jewish people and the Gentiles. The idea is the gospel is that light, right? That first glimmer of light is what Jesus has done in light of our sin. So here you have mere light is used in a spiritual sense, at least in six ways. They're all tied together. They're all a form of revelation, information, and they tie into salvation and so on. But as identification, they mark or characterize things. As information, as salvation, sanctification, separation, and proclamation. Let me give you two takeaways here. One will kind of summarize today. The second will summarize next week. Okay? Number one here, I must have a right relationship with God to understand what is true and what is right. Or if you will, what is factually true and what is morally right. In order to be able to identify the difference between what's true and false, and morally right and morally wrong, you have to have a relationship with God. It does not come any other way. God is light. The second takeaway, and again, it gets into more next week, but I must properly respond to what is true and what is right to have an ongoing relationship with God. Right? That's 1 John 1:6 through 8 that we'll look at next week. Do you have a right relationship with God? And are you walking with the God in whom is no darkness at all? Are you responding to his light and to the fact that in him is no darkness at all? Sin is not okay. Right? That's where we'll be next week. Let's pray.